This is Digital Story Podcast number 592, July 11th, 2017. Today's theme is DJI Spark, the nimble drone. I'm Derek Story. Quite frankly, drones were just too cumbersome to mess with. Since aerial photography was not essential to my business, I decided to bide my time until the right quadcopter was developed. Fortunately, I didn't have to wait too long. In June 2017, DJI released the Spark. It is truly the nimble photographer drone, and the top story for today's show. One of the things I really like about the Spark is that I can carry it with me all the time in my ThinkTank Retrospective 7 shoulder bag. And I think this is important because the way I look at the Spark is like it is another camera. I mean, I have it for the camera. And so I'm carrying my Olympus Pen F. I have the DXO-1 in there. And now I have the DJI Spark. And all of that is in my camera bag along with my laptop and all the other goodies. So it is another camera. And since it is another camera, I want to have it with me. Because you never know when you're going to want a different perspective for a shot. Now, the Spark fits nicely in the front pocket of the Respective. So in the main area there, I have my normal camera gear. In the back pocket of the 7, the Retrospective 7, I have an 11-inch MacBook that I carry with me, a MacBook Air. That's sort of my go-with-me-everywhere computer. And then in the front pocket, I have the DJI Spark, and this is an incredible kit. I mean, I carried this kit out to Chicago on the train all the way down to New Orleans, all around New Orleans, and then all the way back, and I just haven't changed it since I got back. A lot of times, I'll pack a specific kit for the road, and I spent a lot of time putting that kit together for the Chicago to New Orleans trip. But since I've been back, I just stuck with it because it is so nice. It has everything I need, and it's easy to carry around. Now, I don't have a lot of extra stuff for the DJI Spark. I have the basic $499 kit. So I have one battery, I have a power cord, and I have a couple extra propellers, and that is it. That's it. Because the whole idea of it for me is to be able to carry it around and not, you know, suddenly have to have another ginormous bag. And, you know, that was a problem in the past with drones, with sophisticated drones. I mean, good drones, not toys, but sophisticated drones, was that it really entailed having a whole second kit, a whole second bag that you had to take with you. And in a lot of ways, I looked at that as, you know, the same situation that people have with large DSLRs. And if they only have a DSLR and they don't have a mirrorless camera or something else, then sometimes they leave that DSLR at home on the shelf when they're out and about because they don't want to lug it around. And then they don't have access to it if a picture presents itself. And I felt the same way about the Spark. If I'm going to have a drone, I want to have a drone that's with me that I can use when I need to use it. You know, I might grab the Pen F for this. I might grab the DXO-1 for that. And I might need the Spark for this other thing. And that's the way I'm looking at it. So I have just a basic kit, and I'm using the iPhone or the iPad mini, both of which I carry with me, as the controller. And I'll talk more about that here in a second. Let's back up a little bit. I sort of jumped right in the middle of the story here. Having a drone for me has never been what I considered essential gear, but it has been something that I thought at some point would become part of my photography toolkit. Now, having had one for a while, I still don't consider it essential. I don't consider it as important, for example, as my Pen F and a couple lenses. That being said, it has been nice when I'm in Chicago. You know, one morning I got up early and it was a beautiful morning. There was a bit of a breeze, but it wasn't too bad. And so I walked down to Grant Park and there's a beautiful skyline, you know, that's behind Grant Park as you're looking down Michigan Avenue there. And I had photographed that skyline many times because I like it. It's pretty. It makes me think of Chicago, you know, those sort of iconic shots. But this time I wanted a different shot, and I wanted the skyline, and I wanted me, and I wanted that aerial perspective. So I checked the messages on the Spark, and I had a couple warnings, and I'm going to get more into that part of it in just a bit. Had a couple warnings, but nothing that said that I couldn't fly. So I went ahead and put it up in the air and got a shot of me. You may have seen it. I put it on Instagram, I believe. Me with this beautiful Chicago skyline. Now, the reason why I bring this up is that that's not a groundbreaking shot by any means. But it is different than the other shots that I have of me in Chicago and of that skyline. It is completely different. And I like having it. I like having it in the mix. So that when I go back and I need some shots from Chicago, either for promoting a workshop or for something else that I'm doing, then not only do I have the normal shots that I take, the shots around the loop, the street photography, the iconic spots, the bean, crown fountain, all that stuff. Not only do I have that, but now I have a few aerial shots also. And I think this is where the quadcopter really comes in handy, because now I have one more dimension. Now, when am I going to use those shots? I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, I don't have any big plans for them, but they're going in the library with everything else. And I think over time, they will be used in all sorts of different ways. Okay, so now let's go back to this whole idea of using the iPhone or the iPad as a controller. You can also use an Android smartphone or Android pad also. So there are two ways to go with the Spark, and I'm sure a lot of you have read a fair amount about it already. Although, I don't know if you've noticed this, it's interesting to me. It's hard to find written comment on the Spark. Almost everything is YouTube video. If you do a search and you want to find something out, I mean, I was looking for, you know, some details on the intelligent flight modes that I wanted to be really clear on. Everything is YouTube. And I thought that was very interesting. And that's a subject for probably another conversation here before too long. At any rate, getting back to the controller situation. So I decided to go with using the smartphone or the iPad as a controller instead of buying a separate controller. You can buy a separate controller for $149. And what you get with that controller, the separate one, is you get more height and more distance. Like right now, I think I can go basically 160 feet with the iPhone. And I haven't even gone quite that high. I've gone up as high as 130, 135 feet. Part of it is just paranoia. I don't want to lose connection with the device because I don't know what I would do if it did. Anyway, hopefully if that ever happens, it'll be when I'm flying in a field of marshmallows, right? So I'm using the iPhone because for me, it's part of the whole nimble drone thing. In other words, if I'm carrying a controller, if I'm carrying all these extra things, then I'm not so nimble anymore. Then suddenly I'm kind of inching my way back to carrying a separate case with all the stuff. Now, using it with the iPhone or an iPad is a very good experience. So I like that a lot. The app is good. DJI Go 4 is quite a good app. I never had flown a drone seriously before, so I had to learn how to work the controls. Fairly intuitive, I have to say. Not bad at all. So the whole thing has been quite good and extremely nimble. So for me, for the heights that I'm going to use, for the distance away from me that I'm considering for my shots, I'm sticking with the phone right now or the pad. And by the way, the iPad Mini is wonderful for controlling the DJI quadcopters because you have a little bigger screen. The layout is really nice, but yet it still feels good in your hand. And, you know, my favorite flying experience right now in terms of controlling the device, the craft, the aircraft, is with an iPad Mini. So anyway, so that's where I am. So that is the setup right now. So as I've been working with it, five things came to mind. This might shock you. Five things came to mind that I really appreciate about this particular device. First one, it's built like a rock, but it's much lighter. Whenever I hand the Spark to somebody and let them hold it, which, you know, people are very curious about it, at Out of Chicago, I passed it around. Every time I pull it out, people, you know, want to see it and kind of just marvel at it. I get this comment quite a bit while they're holding it, which is how solid it feels, how well built it feels, how well designed it looks, how quality it appears, and how that it's not a toy. It's a craft, right? It's not a toy at all. And I think that that is pretty impressive, and I feel the same way. So much so that I don't feel like I have to baby this device. Now, it has a two-direction gimbal, but the gimbal is built into the aircraft itself and is, you know, somewhat protected. So basically, when I'm carrying the Spark around, I have a little soft pouch for it that it fits in nicely, you know, a little zippered pouch that's rectangular and about the right depth. So I put it in there, and then I just slide it in the front pocket of the Retrospective 7, and that's all I have to do, because this thing doesn't have to be babied. It is meant to be used. It is meant to be carried around with you. It is meant to be flown, all that sort of stuff. And when it's time to fly, I pull it out, I fire it up, and it flies. And it does great. So I think that's one of the things that really impressed me about this, because people have asked me, well, you know, there are all sorts of small quadcopters on the market available. Why did you go with the Spark? There are a number of reasons. This is one of them, though. Amazing build quality. This is a quality device. And when you think about what you're getting for $499, I think it's a great value. Second point, amazing technology. The technology with this thing really blows my mind. Incredible use of GPS satellites, infrared detection, Wi-Fi connectivity, still photography, video recording, and then aerodynamics in general. And all of that is packed into this little device that literally you hold in the palm of your hand. And then when combined with a state-of-the-art smartphone, such as my iPhone or even my iPad, it's really mind-blowing what you have. And I'll just give you one example. I'm going to talk about still photography next, but I'm going to give you one example. So when you're flying this thing, first of all, it has easy liftoff. And so, you know, it just takes off. It goes up to about 4 feet, and then it just hovers. It just waits for your next command. You're going, all right, that's cool. So you're never in a rush. You know, that's the thing. You don't have to worry when you're flying this thing. It takes off, and then it waits for the next thing that you want to do. Do you want to go to an intelligent flight mode? Well, you've got time to do that. Just do that on your phone. Do you just want to send it up a bit more? You got time to do that. You know, all these sort of things are very easy. And then it knows where it is, thanks to the GPS stuff, and it knows where home is. And so you can just tell it to return home. If things start going weird, just say, hey, come home. There's a control on there. Come home. It'll come back. It'll come to the area that it took off, and it will land itself. Really smart stuff. But the thing that I wanted to say is that I noticed this when I was doing pictures. It has a way of steadying itself and leveling itself out so that photography is very easy. If you think about how hard photography could be with a quadcopter, and I think it's sort of analogous to when I go snorkeling and how I have all these different variables. I'm trying to swim and position myself and things are moving and all that. And it's really hard to get the shot sometimes when I'm snorkeling. Well, while flying a remote device could be equally as hard. And it isn't, because of all the technology that's built into this. It steadies itself well. It has a very easy to control gimbal so that, you know, you can get just the right angle that you want, and then you can lock it. Just lock it with a tap of the button on the phone itself. And then when you take a picture, the horizon is straight. I mean, my horizons are straighter with the shots with the Spark than they are with my handheld camera. So it's actually a lot better at that than I am with a regular camera. There is just amazing technology built into this thing. And the more that I fly it, the more that I appreciate how smart it really is. Third item, excellent for still photography. I mean, this is a blast. This is why I have it, in all honesty, is for still photography. Now, it has a 12 megapixel camera built into it that's pretty darn good. It's JPEGs only, no RAW with the Spark, JPEGs only, but the JPEGs are excellent. You have a fair amount of control over the camera itself. So you have options for single shot, burst mode, exposure bracketing, which I was reading an article the other day where the author was saying that exposure bracketing is really a good way to go with these devices. So I'm going to give that a try. I haven't used it yet. Timed shot, shallow focus, and panorama photography. You have full auto, or if you want, you can switch to manual exposure mode. You can set the ISO, and you can set the white balance. So there's quite a bit of stuff that you can do with this. All of it is controllable via the smartphone or tablet. And all in all, I've been very happy with the pictures, and I'm still just getting to know it. I mean, I'm just scratching the surface. So anyway, this is a really good device for still photography. I believe that the lens has an equivalent focal length of around 25 millimeters. It doesn't have a zoom. And instead of saying, normally we say when you're shooting with a prime lens, you have to zoom with your feet. Well, this device, you zoom, by flying it, so if you want to get closer, you just fly closer and then take the shot. If you want farther, you fly it back. You really don't need a zoom with this device. The Spark is just fine with this 25 millimeter lens. So I think this is a real blast for still photography and really useful. Item number 4, intelligent flight modes. And these really, I think, more pertain to video recording. So you can do HD video recording with it. There has been some discussion online that it's only HD and it's not 4K. And that is what it is. For me, not that big of an issue. Most of my video shooting is in HD anyway. So that wasn't a big come down for me. But getting back to the intelligent flight modes, two that I really like. One is called active track and the other is called tripod mode. Now, active track, you go ahead and target something. Let's say you target me. All right. So I do that. And then as I move, the drone will follow me at a specific distance. It's really neat. And I could target someone else. You can target all sorts of things. So that way you can shoot video of something moving. Let's say that you're shooting a bike commercial and you want it to follow someone on a bike, then you just target the biker and then the biker takes off and the drone follows them. And believe me, the drone can keep up with the bike. These things are pretty speedy. So I love that. I think that's really neat, active track. The other thing that I really like that I didn't really know how people got these shots, but if you ever watch Apple TV, the screensavers are a blast. I mean, we just watch the screensaver sometimes while we're talking or whatever. I love the screensavers. And the screensavers are these slow motion flights over all these different parts of the world. And they're very interesting. Well, that's what tripod mode is with the DJI drones. Essentially, it is a very steady flight path that also is very slow. And the controls are slower. So if you do a turn or something, they're very slow, very steady. Everything's steady. And I just did some, short videos with this just to get to know it. And it makes almost anything look interesting because of the way that it video records it. So this tripod mode allows you to create these Apple TV-like screensavers super easy. And you could just fly it over a stream, over treetops, over, whatever you want. And because of the way that it records the video, it's fascinating. So I love this. This is another one of those intelligent flight modes. There are all sorts of intelligent flight modes in there. The Spark is just chock full of them. These are two of my favorite, and I'm still exploring, many of the other ones. There's one where it will circle around you and film you in a complete circle, stuff like that. And basically, you just tell it what to do, and then it does it. And then you can break out of that intelligent flight mode and do something else. That's a lot of fun. And again, another reason why I really like this device. And finally, my fifth thing that I appreciate about having the Spark is that I'm learning a new skill. And This was something that I knew that I was going to have to do, but not to the extent that it has turned out. And much in the same way that I had to learn all about audio to become a photographer podcaster, there's all sorts of things I had to learn to do the podcast well. I'm having to learn about aeronautics to become an aerial photographer. And it's really fun. I'm having to learn about being aware of my environment, you know, not only like the speed of the wind and things like that, but also, is there a helipad over there at that business or at that hospital? How far away is the nearest airport? You know, what are the warnings that I need to be aware of? You know, all that kind of stuff. In fact, I'm using an app called Kitty Hawk to help me review flight conditions before I fly, just to make sure that I understand, you know, what the wind is and what the airspace clearance is like and all that kind of stuff. And I like it. I love it, you know, and suddenly I feel more aware of my environment than ever before. Before, I was always very aware of light, for sure, time of day and all that, but now I'm aware of, you know, this whole nother set of things, and it's fascinating. And I just feel like I'm more in touch than ever with my environment, and part of that is as I learn how to become a pilot. So, and then probably the other part that I'm learning is how to take pictures from a completely new perspective. I mean, I start out just like everyone else, where I put it up in the air, I point it down at me, I wave at it, and we do a selfie. And, you know, that's fun in the beginning. But then, you know, you move on to the next phase where you really learn how to use this perspective and integrate those shots into your overall photography. So those are the five things that are really turning me on about the Spark right now. I did register with the FAA because I may use some of my images commercially, and there's a little bit of a, you know, kerfuffle around the whole FAA registration, but in all honesty, it takes 5 minutes to do it, and it costs $5, and then you actually have a printout where it says that, you know, this device is registered and all that, which is nice to have if someone ever approaches you while you're flying. At least, you know, you look like that you're thinking about these sort of things. So I went ahead and took care of that little bit of business. And really, even though the Spark is super nimble, it's a serious aircraft. And I respect both its capabilities and the responsibilities that come with its use. I waited a long time before I got into this type of photography. Thanks to the Spark, I'm knee-deep in it right now. I got my head in the clouds, and I'm really enjoying it a lot. Capture One Classroom. So this is a brand new thing that I've been thinking about and working on for some time, and I'm really happy to be able to announce it on this show. So here's what I was trying to do. I've been trying to figure out a way to bring more personalized training to photographers without them having to travel. I mean, that's the bottom line. I mean, it's okay to get on a plane if you're going to go photograph wine country like we're going to do in October, or go to the French Quarter, New Orleans. That's worth getting on a plane for. But I don't think it's quite as alluring to get on a plane to go sit in a classroom for 2 days. Now, back in the day when I first started the workshops, I used to have aperture training workshops, and they actually did quite well. But again, I was noticing that a lot of people didn't come for this very reason, because, you know, they did have to travel, they did have to get a hotel, they'd have to rent a car, all that kind of stuff. Now we're in a similar situation with Capture One Pro. I think a lot of people want training that go beyond the webinars or beyond what I've done on Lynda, but they might not be quite ready to get on a plane for it, especially for 2 days. So I thought, okay, I'm going to create something called the Nimble Classroom. And this is a hybrid model. I'm taking a lot from what I already do with the workshops, which are very successful, my workshops, which are very successful. And I'm integrating this into a little different format. Basically, these will be online. Class size is going to be limited to 6. And the provider that I'm going to use, the service provider that I'm going to use, will allow me to stream the show to a computer, to a mobile device, and to a tablet with a very nice video player and everything. But it's not just this one-way thing. Other parts of this that I think are really fascinating to me are that since we're only limited to six, then people are going to be able to submit questions beforehand. So on the first one that we're going to do for Capture One Pro, it's going to be on catalog management. So, you know, when someone signs up, they'll get, you know, all the information about how to participate. And then they'll be able to submit a handful of questions. And those handful of questions will come to me ahead of time. And I will be able to integrate the answers to those questions into my presentation. Chances are, on most of these questions, the other five will be interested in that content also. And then throughout the day, we're going to have Q&A sessions to where we can have a dialogue and other people can hear. So yes, you will be watching this content on a device. I'll be going back and forth from the screen as I demonstrate things to live action with me. But at the same time, you're going to have a level of participation that you don't get with a webinar. You're going to know the other people that are participating, and we're going to bring a lot of the really good stuff that happens to our face-to-face workshops into this. And then the thing is, I can keep the cost down. So not only do you not have to travel and get a room and rent a car and all that, I'm going to start these out at $129 per day. So sign up for the first one. It's $129, and you're part of a class of six, and then we are going to work on this topic. So I'm starting out with Capture One, and we're going to begin with catalog management, but we're going to go through a whole series over time that gets into image editing and using all the various tools, output, all that good stuff. But then I'm also going to broaden the program into things such as portfolio review and so forth. So I think that this platform that I'm designing that allows us to have the kind of interactions that we like in a more convenient medium, I think is going to work really well. Now, I'm going to continue doing the physical workshops. You know I'm not letting go of those because they are just wonderful experiences. But I don't think we need the physical workshops as much for the classroom stuff. I want to save those for going to wine country, for going on the North Coast, for exploring the streets of San Francisco. That's stuff where we can really capitalize on being together. So anyway, take a look. All you have to do is go to thenimblephotographer.com, and you'll notice now in the nav bar, there's something called Classroom. We have the first class there. Now I have the links to everything in the show notes. Just like I have the link to the DJI Spark in the show notes, I have the link that goes right to this first class. That's going to be on Saturday, August 19th at 8 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time. So that'll be 11 a.m. Eastern Time, and then whatever other time zone you may happen to be. It'll be happening live then. And then I think the other thing that I'm going to do is make the recordings of the class available to class participants also, so that not only can they participate in the class, but then they'll also have it as a video file that they can review later on. So I'm really excited about this. Again, just go to thenimblephotographer.com, click on Classroom. You'll see the first one there, the Capture One Classroom, Session One. Six seats are available, and if you want to join in, it's August 19th, Saturday, August 19th, and we're going to do our maiden voyage. And then hopefully we're just going to keep going from there, and we'll be able to integrate this type of training into all the other stuff that we're doing, the podcast, the physical workshops, and then, you know, this hybrid model, which I'm really excited about. So I hope you go take a look at it, and I hope to see you in class in one of these upcoming sessions that we're going to do. Framing tip of the month. I'm talking about framing, but not only for our photographs, but for any piece of art, all the way from that beautiful masterpiece that your five-year-old brought home to the watercolor that maybe your mom painted for you and gave you as a gift, to something that you found while you were traveling and purchased. Any piece of art this applies to. And you know, one thing that your professional framer will tell you, that some pieces of art just need help. If the picture is a non-standard size, either too large or too long, or the focal point of the picture is very close to the lower edge of the image, then you can use mats to help pull down the image. And that means that the lower edge of the mat is wider compared to the upper and side edges, creating a feeling of proportionality. This same technique can be applied in cases where two pictures are of different sizes and shown together. If the inner edges of both mats are made slightly narrower, the two pictures will look more balanced. And this is where mats can really help you finish off your artwork, your photograph, your watercolor, whatever it happens to be. Up until this point, I've been talking about using matting and framing to enhance the image, but I don't think I've really discussed using matting and framing to not fix the image, but definitely bring more balance to the presentation. And again, you can take a picture. Let's say that you have a watercolor from your mom. You can take a picture of it and then put it in Image Framer and then start playing with these different matting and framing combinations till you find the proportions and the colors and the design and the depth, whether you do multiple mats or just a single one, to really make her image shine, to really make her watercolor look as beautiful as it can look. So you can bring it in there, figure it out, and then if you want, you can go buy the physical mats or have the physical mats cut to finish off the job. And this is where Image Framer can help you with any piece of art. We've been talking about in terms of photography, but we can take a picture of a watercolor, oil painting, a poster. We can take a picture of anything, put it in Image Framer, figure it out, and then make it happen. And I think this is another strength of this application that a lot of people don't realize that they have access to sitting right there on their computer. The other thing that I haven't mentioned up until this point, but that I think you really like, is that Image Framer is on Facebook. And it's facebook.com/imageframer, all one word. And if you go there, I would like them, first of all. But the thing that I noticed when I was hanging out on that page is that there's all sorts of information like I've been sharing with you on the podcast and with images so that you can really see what members of the community are doing with their images, with their pictures, with their paintings, with Image Framer. So you get the visual in addition to all the tips and handy techniques that we're discussing here. So I highly recommend that you go over to facebook.com/imageframer. Like the page, explore the content there, and I really do think that you'll be impressed. Because really what we want to do is use Image Framer to give the look to our pictures that they deserve. Now, Image Framer 4 is out right now. It's a free upgrade for those that have Image Framer 3. We have a tile on all the pages of the digital story. Click on that tile. That'll take you over to the Image Framer landing page, the digital story landing page on the Image Framer site. And if you purchase, then you'll automatically get a 20% discount if you go in via that landing page. Lots of great stuff to explore here. And again, it's all about taking physical pieces of art, whether it be photographs or anything else, and taking them to the next level, getting as much out of those images as we can through the use of mats and frames that are designed to enhance that artwork. Image Framer, a sponsor of the Digital Story, and we're really happy to have them on board. All right, just a few things to wrap up here. A big thank you to all of our Patreon members and a welcome to our new Patreon members. We had a really good month in June. We got lots of new signups. Welcome aboard, everyone, all the new members to the Inner Circle. And I'm happy because I was just notified by Patreon that last month's support came through. And right away, I'm going to use it to pay some bills. And so that always makes me happy, too, and probably makes my system administrator happy also, since he will be the beneficiary of much of that. At any rate, Patreon members and members of our Inner Circle, they are the ones that help me keep this podcast going week after week. We all should thank them very much. If you're interested in becoming a supporter of this site, then there's a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story, a Patreon tile. Just click on that. It's very easy to sign up and get going. And then you too can lend a hand to keeping the show on the air. Also want to mention that B&H and Amazon tiles are on the Digital Story, all the pages of the Digital Story. And also, I put links in the articles. Like, for instance, I linked to the DJI Spark in the show notes. If you're thinking about buying a Spark, if you just go to the show notes and click on that link, that'll take you over to the page on B&H. And then if you do purchase a Spark, you help support the site. If you want to go to Amazon, then just click on the Amazon tile, enter DJI Spark in the search box. And then, of course, when you make the purchase on Amazon, you help support the site. I really appreciate that. And finally, a big thanks to our friends at Red River Paper. I just had an exchange with them, and we're going to excerpt some of the things out of latest ebook, the Creative Printing ebook. And by the way, while I was traveling to New Orleans and in New Orleans, I got a flood of emails from people who had attended my creative printing class in Chicago and had gone home and done projects right away, took pictures of those projects, and then sent them to me. And they look darn good. The most popular projects have been doing square prints in square frames. Those look really good. And then, of course, the square fine art greeting cards. Those are the two biggies. Big thanks to Red River Paper for making all of that happen. They have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story. And they have a terrific Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. Alrighty, that's going to do it for me this week. Working on some great stuff for next week. Please come back and join me. Until then, have a terrific week. See you Tuesday. Bye-bye now.